Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this week's episode has been expanded from its original 4x3 aspect ratio to 16x9. And with me, I have...
Some days I just feel like Ziltoid. Where's my blasted coffee? Ugh.
And...
Everything's on fire this week. Also because... Ow. Okay, fine, I'll say it.
Hey, I thought my show was supposed to have the room that's always on fire.
I think that's every show everywhere at this point. Especially because... God. God damn it. This has been... a week.
Yeah.
Multiple respects. Everything's test. It's like this week is like an exam. Because everything is testing us right now. But there's probably some fun to be had in the cracks between the madness, so yeah, here we are at episode 153. Has there been anything positive going on in y'all's lives or anything?
Kind of. Well, about a little over a week ago, I went to a pretty awesome wrestling show for All Elite Wrestling. They came in town. But I had to leave early because of this little thing I have called asthma.
Ouch.
When your chest starts feeling tight and you're having trouble breathing, that's when you have to go home. And the next day I had to go to the MinuteClinic and get some medicine, which I did. And I'm currently taking that whole thing. And that's why these shows have been late, because I am very prone to sickness and exhaustion. And, you know, difficulty breathing, which is never fun. But on the flip side, this Disney Plus gimmick is pretty cool. Star Wars in 4K, that's awesome. Simpsons cropped to widescreen, not awesome.
Oh.
Oh.
Like, you couldn't have just done that for the crappy episodes. You have to do it for the good ones, too. Not cool. No es bueno.
Don't forget about DuckTales apparently being listed out of proper viewing
order. Oh, yeah, there was all sorts of problems.
Yeah, that too. Like,
all sorts of problems. But thankfully, I will have a very rare weekend off, which will allow me to unwind, unplug, stay away from the fucking internet for 3 days, and enjoy these video games coming out that everyone seems to hate, possibly for fabricated reasons. Because people cannot have fun anymore in 2019, going on 2020. Eh, fucking people.
Hoes, definitely be mad.
Yeah, that's just the way the news goes, isn't it? Fucking damn it, where's my coffee?
Probably elsewhere. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see, okay, let's see. Of course, we all mentioned all, you know, shows clusterfucks, which I will say, well, in case you're wondering what else why the other shows like The Roundup is late. Little thing, when I was talking about clipping, and I really got into it when I'm talking about Pitchfork, suddenly stopped recording for some fucking reason. And I was getting really in the heat of it. It's like the movie, you were like, oh man, I fucking got it. And then it's like, you didn't record it. Like, and then inside your mind is screaming, motherfucker. Yeah, like that shit.
Oh that god, shit. That was such a good part too. Yeah. It'll be lost in the sands of time, but y'all miss some quality salt.
I was pissed at myself, but like, how the fuck does that, but yeah, like, aside from that, and of course, I have to pay off medical bills and shit. Well, today, because yeah, like some good stuff happened. Like I said last week, I got paid, so I, you know, gotta treat myself by going to by, you know, getting my stuff, and got me a bunch of cheap anime, along with Megalobox, which I now own.
Nice.
Hey.
Yeah, and also another thing, I went to the other streaming service, Netflix, and I finally saw that movie, Dolomite Is My Name, and yes, it is a really fucking good movie.
A good Eddie Murphy movie? In 2019?
Yep. you think me to shit up, but no, it's really good.
Well, goddamn. Yeah,
there shouldn't be a lot of good movies coming out in November. Knives Out. Knives Out, yes, thank you. I'm a little tired. Knives Out, A Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. Oh, God, I'm going to cry because the world is an awful place. And The Irishman, which, oh, my God, Martin Scorsese, why is this 3.5 fucking hours long?
Oof.
Please, kindly, shut the fuck up about movies, Martin. Shut up until you can learn to make a movie that's less than 3.5 hours long. Goddamn.
Like, I'm the guy that sat through The Wolf of Wall Street in theaters and, like, I really liked it, even though it was 3 hours, but, like, I mean, that was at least a straight-up comedy, but I don't think The Irishman is a comedy. So why is it, like, Lord of the Rings levels? Damn. I bet there isn't even, like, a Battle of Five Armies or anything in that movie.
Is there such an Action Bronson cooking or something?
You know that... Actually, I wouldn't know. Okay, anyway, as for me, well, the bad, everything's just been piling up, like fucking exams, assignments. There was unfortunately a complication last week where I learned that I had to be let go as one of the genre directors from the station, because there's been budget cuts preventing payment of two loud directors, and, you know, with all due respect, it was a tough choice to make, and, you know, I hold no ill will. They chose the person that was admittingly more consistent in their work, but, you know, it's just been like that since the summer. They've been, the powers that be that fund us have been messing with us. And, of course, there was a horrifically nightmarish incident involving some douchebag in a Discord server I'm in a handful of shared Discord servers, who thankfully is not there. But let's just say, if I ever meet this guy in person, there's gonna be a body.
Damn.
But there was at least some amusing moments in there. I did, in fact, get to go back out to the movies for the first time in a while. I saw Parasite, which was a really interesting sort of Korean comedy drama.
I gotta go see that, too. Oh, man. Too many movies in November.
God, I love seeing the rich get fleeced. And then I also saw Jojo Rabbit, which, God bless Taika Waititi, man. His Hitler might very well be the funniest thing I've seen all year.
Why are all the movies coming out in November? Slow down, guys.
Yeah, and I still gotta see fucking Dr. Sleep in the Lighthouse. Maybe I'll get to those this weekend. But that's basically about it, apart from, you know, making some hardcore progress in Danganronpa V3. You might hear my complaints about that in the roundup when that goes up. But once again, I need to reiterate, Kokichi Oma is a bastard and needs to get thrown off a building. But we can now jump on from all those formalities to the usual business. Of course, as always, we start with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and have takes on these various songs. Now, last week, on the last episode, we joked about how Clams Casino, coming out with an album in November, possibly created a wrinkle for certain end-of-the-year lists, especially since, you know, we're getting right down to list time, and there'll be all the weirdos publishing their lists, like, I don't know, 2 weeks into November. Like, you can't even wait until December for some reason. But thankfully, the release calendar is looking like there'll be no other obstructions that could possibly upend anyone's year-end lists. So, anyway, Let's see what the first song is here. Oh, hey, look at that, another Lucy from the Free Nationals. Oh, and apparently Sid's all tagging along, too. Well,
oh, nice.
Let's just see what kind of Lucy shenanigans they have up here. Wait, what? It's not a Lucy?
Wait.
Hold up. There's record attached to this? Huh.
And it's...
Okay, then.
And it's coming. Let's see. Okay. And it's... Okay, they actually got an album coming out. Oh, okay. And it's coming out next month.
Yes.
On the 13th.
My birthday, to be precise. Friday the 13th. What?
So.
Wait, why is this coming out on my birthday? That's fucking weird, man. But whatever, I don't make the rules. Care to take over for this first song, dude? We should probably move into the song itself at this point.
Yeah, we should. So, yeah, Fairness and Sid, with the song Shibuya, which I don't know what the fuck, but I guess that's somebody's name, but...
That's a city in Japan.
Oh.
Hell, it's the city where Persona 5 takes place, I think.
Yep. It's a war, not a city, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, if you heard like you heard song before, like you know, getting some very funky smooth R&B type shit with this. Sid Foley the Kid sings well on this, and we got here's another dope R&B track, and I keep saying we're gonna be an album, and now the album is gonna be right where I have to make the list. And looking at these features, which of course you got, you got Daniel Caesar, Jid, Anderson .Paak himself, Mac Miller, and hold up, another guest,
Zelda boys ain't leaving.
You know what? That would confuse since no Pack hasn't been on the West Side Gun album before last year, but yeah, I'm definitely digging this. I'm definitely digging the song, and hey, if I get the album, I gotta make some adjustments on my list.
Yeah, this is why we wait until we're good and ready, because stuff like this happens. But anyway,
yeah.
Let's move on to the next track, which is at least thankfully actually a Lucy, and it's courtesy of Clipping, who we're still riding pretty high off of their existence in Addiction to Blood. And oh, look at that. Yeah. Shabazz Pal says, wait, no, I can't. I'm not smart enough for this. I have to leave. Mark, you're smarter than me. You do this. I'm out.
Okay. Oh damn. Okay, so the two sub pop rap groups collide, which this should have happened all this happened before, which they got their own song now called Audio Code Data Breaks. It definitely sounds like a match between the two groups. What you got this kind of like industrial electronic sound, which of course you got both Palisade and Lazaro rapping, which he got this weird lyric, which he says, I pull up my seahorse, blinged it with diamonds, Bubba Ghetto Whale songs heard from miles out. And this is a trippy ass song, and him and these two groups from Collide, this is a very interesting thing to see. Like, I mean, again, it's cool. I like it. I like this song. What the fuck I'm saying? Shabazz Pal will confuse you sometimes. Even when this shit is dope.
Is it safe to come back now?
Yes, it is.
Thank God. I am too stupid to intelligently analyze this shit in any capacity. So now let's at least go to something that's relatively more my speed. Hey, look at that. A new Lucy from Fever 333. This being a track called Kingdom. No relation to other things called Kingdom. And yeah, this one feels more akin to very kind of 2000s era nu metal and post-hardcore, with its particular sort of vocal flows, gang shouts, all kinds of shit, before delving into those kinds of... It almost kind of sounds like a lot of older era Thrice material, which isn't exactly a bad thing, because older Thrice bangs, and it ain't like newer Thrice is really doing anything for anyone either. But yeah, it's not quite on the level as like their album that they put out earlier in the year, but for something that kind of appeals to like that pure sort of 2000s teenager instinct, it gets the job done, I suppose.
Yeah, when I shared this song, I called it Boom Bat meets Skank Beat Punk meets Hardcore, and I'd say it fits that mold pretty well. It's a pretty solid banger, too. Thumb up from me. I like what these guys are doing.
Yep. Now let's move on to the next track here, and fun fact, I still have not heard that Billie Eilish album.
I have.
I'll get to it eventually, I promise. It's just, there's a lot of other stuff that's more of a priority for me. So, obviously, like, in this age of, you know, you can put out shit anytime on the streaming services, whatever, she can't just be contained to her album. No, instead, now Billie Eilish graces us with a new one-off track called Everything I Wanted. And, you know, I'll say it's a pretty moody song overall. The percussion kind of has, like, these very delicate clapping thuds and these minimal synths that swell up and down in the mix. Of course, the lyrics kind of sound very moody, like describing this kind of nightmare scenario of with lyrics like, I tried to scream, but my head was underwater. They called me weak. Could have been a nightmare, but it felt like they were right there. You know, it's probably a metaphor for things, possibly fame, because that's how a lot of these songs usually are. And, you know, like I said, I haven't listened to the album, so I don't know where exactly this squares with that, if it's a natural extension or, like, something different. But I'm going to say it kind of feels and sounds like, and I say this unintentionally knowing or maybe not knowing whether it's a popular comparison point, but this kind of feels like it would be like a Lorde deep cut, possibly. I don't know. That's just where my mind went. I'm not really sure what else to think about it so far. Again, flying blind here.
Okay. It does have that signature, very hushed vocal style that people know her for, but it doesn't permeate too deep into melancholy. It's kind of a chill, laid-back song. I really dig it. And comparing this to the album, I mean, there are some cuts on there that would fit this mold. Again, like I said, it's not too melancholic. It's more retrospective, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This has, like, you know, the very crystalline, like, ballad type of sound to it, which isn't strange. Which isn't strange to her, to a music release for her from the album. And it's nice, of course, once again, produced by her brother, Phineas, no Ferb. And according to Steel Gum article, said it's a tribute to their sibling bond, which, well, I mean, well, I guess, you know, since, you know, she made it, that means, you know, you're gonna say, you know, the whole, you're going with me, like, you know, I made it, you go with me, we're gonna take over the world by storm, or some type of shit like that, like, we gonna beat it for each other no matter what the fuck happens.
Yeah, that'll be sometimes. Anyway, time to move on to the next one here. Oh, look at that. More Poppy, another single from her upcoming January 10th release, I Disagree. This one's called Blood Money. It's got a lot of synthetic industrial noise shit going on. You know, she tries to sound really creepy, but a lot of it just comes off as, like, at least in the vocals, very annoyingly bratty. Thinking back on it, she just does not have a good voice to be pulling off this kind of style of music. It's nowhere near biting enough to be metal, but it's not poppy enough to be, like, I don't know, baby metal. And keep in mind, we just had Metal Galaxy come out, so the bar is set pretty high. And oh dear God, what the fuck even is that guitar solo? It sounds like a dollar store Tom Morello, and, like, you know, now that I think about it, I'm finally realizing this must be what Three Teeth sounds like to Alex.
Pretty much. Yeah, I said it. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And the lyric work isn't great. I mean, I appreciate a good Depeche Mode reference every now and then, but having a hook in your chorus be beg for forgiveness from Jesus the Christ over and over, that's
what the fuck?
That's not great. Not great at all, and I don't know, man. All that comes to mind is this line from an Atop the Fourth Wall episode. Consistency! You suck at it!
Pretty much. I am not particularly happy. But let's move on to something that does in fact make me happy. As a matter of fact, it turns out that the topic of our 150th episode, our retrospective on that past Adult Swim Singles program, was rather appropriately timed because, yep, we back at it again. We're back.
Back at it again.
I was like,
it didn't take that long.
What, 2 months?
That long. Yeah, like, the same as last time.
Just about, yeah. At the very least, just in time for the Adult Swim Festival happening. possibly by the time you're listening to this for the first time. But yeah, that is the business. We got another 52 weeks of tunes, and at least as far as our preliminary lineup, we have artists such as, of course, Flying Lotus and Jay Lynn, Serpent with Feet, Matthew Dear, Marty Lattimore, Greg Fox of Liturgy fame, Pereira Elsewhere, Machine Drum, and plenty more, including the two leadoff artists that we are going to be discussing here. First off, this comes from an Algerian producer named El Mahdi Jr. and someone named Goals, who is a pseudonym for a musician from artists I've never heard of. But yeah, we have the leadoff 2019-2020 Adultum single called Yum El Kemis, and yeah, it's definitely a pretty legit electronic jam. It's got like elements of trap with the hi-hats and snares, a lot of these really weird drifting synthetic melodies in the background, and a lot of the percussive elements and kind of this woodwind effect that kind of feel very, well, Algerian in nature. It's definitely something that you could just like throw on and like let the vibes carry you, my mans.
Yes, yes. Like this weather, it is very, very chill.
Yes, like, quite chill.
Like, very, like super chill. Like about as chilly as it's been the last few days. Like, what I'm saying is, it's fucking cold.
Yep.
But the song is good, though. But the song is good.
And then, of course, we get our second single that we get to discuss from this program, which is, of course, from one of the usual mainstays of the Adult Swim musical family at this point, Dawn.
Yep, she's back. And she's been, working a lot lately. And she's been doing a lot of shit lately.
Yeah, we don't even have time to discuss the other two songs she put out in the past week and a half.
Yeah, we get that. So, yeah, we get that, because tell her that she's working on a project coming, I'm guessing, spring 2020? And, of course, got a new single made from the album and this other single called Easy, featuring Track Girl. So, I gotta say, like most songs I heard from Dawn, she was talking about, her being very confident in a song, like this lyric here, I'm not here to be humble, I came to shoot my shot, got something I want, and I like it a lot, like, the instrumentation is right, it's very slow building, and she got some good vocals on there, like, it's a straightforward Dawn track that really gets you in the mood. Like it is a very interesting track. And knowing what other things she'll do. I mean, besides performing at the festival, which I'm guessing when you hear this, yeah, you probably heard it already. But yeah, it's a good track.
Yep. And now we just have to wait for another 50 or so weeks of a jam. Now, moving on to the last two songs to talk about here. We got some relics here. Some old guard metal stuff to talk about here. So, you know what's a funny gag in Clerks 2? When the weird religious kid cashier at the fast food place is talking about how Transformers are a gift from God. And then Randall's like, no, Transformers are a curse from the beast we call the Desolate One. And then fucking he just starts singing King Diamond. And then Jay and Silent Bob jump into the drive-thru window, start singing King Diamond. And then the kid just...
yeah.
Let me help you out of the chair, Grandpa! Got it. I'm going to splice that into the episode now.
You know I don't like to talk about dark forces, Randall.
Let me help you out of your chair, Grandma!
Grandma, what was it like to be on the holiday side?
Late that night, I awoke from my sleep, hearing unknown voices laughing and shouting!
But anyway, I only bring that up because it looks like Mr. King Diamond has a new album coming out, his first in apparently over a decade. Sometime in 2020, it's called The Institute, which, sounds appropriate for a King Diamond album, mm-hmm. And we have the lead-off single here, Masquerade of Madness, and yes, this is very decidedly retro in pretty much every facet. It's a pretty slow-paced, steady song with its stomping drum riffs, rhythms, with the occasional double kick in there, the kind of old-school, charmingly cheap-sounding church organs, backing some pretty straightforward riffing and leads. The vocals are, of course, the usual King Diamond style, alternating between a menacing gnarl and those kind of ghastly falsetto highs. I'm not really sure how it squares with the rest of his catalog, but it sounds pretty alright for what it is. I imagine the diehards are probably going to be the ones that get, like, the most out of this, to be honest.
Yeah, classic thrash metal, I'm all for it. It does feel a little too simplistic with its arrangement, but it's 4 minutes of good solid thrash, so yeah, good on me.
And with that, we move on to our last song here, easily the biggest, and let me just say, wow, did Ozzy Osbourne's Scream really come out 10 fucking years ago? Jesus, I was a fucking sophomore in high school when that album was made. Fucking, apparently. I still vividly remember Let Me Hear You Scream dominating all the rock radio stations, which is kind of surprising for a late period Ozzy song. You figured all the stations would want to be more busy with the new hotness, whatever that was in 2010.
It was a dark time. It was an awful time. It was a time fueled by... I don't even want to imagine it. It was a big downturn, is what I'm trying to say.
Finger 11 were allowed to dominate the radio. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, the Oz Man has had a pretty interesting decade since then. You know, that solo album, the middle chunk of the decade being dominated by the unexpected reunion of Black Sabbath. Of course, he spent the last few years being a walking, living medical nightmare. Unfortunately. Seriously, how is this man still alive? It's a miracle that fucking spits in the face of God. Which I suppose is appropriate for the Prince of Darkness. And, you know, freaking closing out the decade by collaborating with friggin' Post Malone of all people. that's still a thing that happened. I can't really believe it. But anyway, it looks like the man has now gone back to his normal solo stuff, as he's officially announced his first new studio album in a decade, Ordinary Man, coming out in 2020. Sometime early 2020, no release date specified, but yeah, we have the lead-off single here, Under the Graveyard, and it opens up like pretty quintessential Ozzy material. That sort of very clean, moody guitar intro, swelling into a sort of major key vocal melody chorus, and, you know, the distortion eventually kicking in with that very slow, steady riff and everything. It definitely spends a lot of its time as one of the more ballady style Ozzy tracks, one that's more befitting of a lot of his classic material. It's not all that propulsive in the first half, but then it gets pretty jammy near the end with that pretty heavy, grooving solo section that does kind of slap. You know, it's pretty solid material. It's not really going to reinvent the wheel, but it's quintessential Ozzy. Although I've heard through the grapevine that there may be certain sound issues with this and possibly the album as a whole. We shall defer to the expert here for that judgment.
Yeah, so whenever it gets to the really heavy parts with the distortion guitars, everything sounds way too overcompressed, and I decided to rip the audio, pull it up in Audacity, which kind of works on my updated computer, but I wouldn't test it long term, and oh god, I'm just seeing blocks of red everywhere. That's when an album and a song is too loud. I thought we talked about this with Rick Rubin in 2008. Dynamic range.
The loudness wars never truly left.
And that's a problem because it's noticeable. There is clipping. There is overcompression. There is audible distortion happening here, and it's not good. You need clarity. You don't need it to be, you know, so loud that it's going to, you know, blow out your speakers or your eardrums. It's just not good. But as for the song, it's solid, I guess. It bangs a little bit. For some reason, Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers and Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses are acting as the session band for this album, along with his producer, Andrew Watt, on guitar. Hey, Andrew, turn the volume down a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It'd be like that sometimes. But I guess we'll have to see what exactly 2020 brings for the Ozman. But anyway, that basically about does it for the song discussion. And we only really have one news topic to discuss here. But it is, you know, something of an important one, I feel like, for reasons. Now, you might be familiar with this band called Tool. You've heard of them. They've kind of been in the news a lot lately. Especially because, you know, there was an album they put out after a exceptionally long wait that required a certain number of years. But, anyway, they're still riding pretty high off the acclaim of Fear Inoculum. They even announced some expanded tour dates for 2020. And they even announced a new expanded book edition physical release of Fear Inoculum, which is coming out, oh, look at that, it's coming out on December 13th, my birthday as well. Someone should probably get me that. Anyway, according to a press release, quote, the new iteration of Fear Inoculum includes five 3D lenticular cards with exclusive graphics, an expanded 56-page booklet with additional never-before-seen art, a download of the groundbreaking immersive visual experience video, Recusant Ad Infinitum, and a CD. A CD, that's pretty impressive. Little bit of a problem, though. You remember that limited edition original physical CD release of Fear Inoculum? You know, the one that sold out pretty goddamn quick, and then they eventually decided, you know what, we're going to do a second round. That was in September, and they promised to ship those out by end of September, start of October. Apparently, a lot of people have not actually gotten that yet. It's kind of, you could just glance all over the social medias, especially in the comments on the band's Instagram page, and lots of people are very, very mad. Now, to be fair, there's probably manufacturing issues that are getting in the way of that, you know, greater than expected demand and all, but, conversely, you know, this is almost approaching, like, YouTube levels of bad communication.
Oh boy.
Yes. Okay, and I bring this up for a very specific reason, because I'm going to do something really quick. Now, I haven't actually checked my emails all day, so I'm just going to casually scroll through, going to swipe away some of the spam and the YouTube notifications, just to see, because I ordered this album when the second print was announced in September, and I want to see if I got any sort of updates about it. Let's see, a lot of con stuff, YouTube notifications, eBay spam, Domino's pizza. I should probably get some pizza after this. But, yeah, so far I haven't gotten any notifications about this. All I've really got is an email notification from Metal Sucks about the expanded release and nothing else.
No. Well, I guess this might be a bad time to tell you that, you can probably get it on Amazon right now for $37.72.
Yeah, probably, but that was $50 it cost me.
What? Damn.
Now, just to at least add a little bit of perspective here, the Metal Sucks piece we're quoting from features a screenshot provided by a reader who placed a deluxe edition order on September 5th and sent in a customer service request and got a quick reply about it. Scanning from the reply here, it says, and I quote, "Thank you for contacting Tool Orders. We are sending out the limited edition Fear Inoculum CD package, not the book. You should receive your order early next week. An email with tracking information will be sent to you as soon as your order is en route. We apologize for the lengthy delay. We appreciate your patience and understanding. Sincerely, Tool Orders." Now, okay, question. Why couldn't you have sent this email out earlier? Like, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks before announcing this deluxe edition? And making everyone really antsy and paranoid about all this? Because again, $50. I can expect some decent communication.
Yeah. Oh, you can also get this new version on Amazon as well for $35. So, yeah.
So, oh, y'all got cheated 15 $50 more we can get.
Well, I didn't because I was procrastinating and I was thinking, you know what, I could probably get this at my record store because they've been selling them behind the counter. Nope, that came and went.
Yeah, that it be like that sometimes. But again, much like the YouTube situation, you could at least be straightforward with your fans.
Capitalism, you know.
It be a bitch and a half. Sorry, this is just a mild annoyance on top of all the big annoyances that have been crowning up my week. Anyway, so that whole thing happened, and, you know, I better be getting my fucking album next week. Anyway, now we have one, with all that out of the way, we have one last bit of business to take care of, and that is the new album releases for November 15th, 2019.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah. So, starting at the top, we have the newest project from Despised Icon with Purgatory. Abigail Williams dropping their newest album, Walk Beyond the Dark. A new project from Bonnie Prince Billy with I Made a Place. A new posthumous release from Lil Peep with Everybody's Everything. There's a new Lady Antebellum project called Ocean. Celine Dion with her newest project, Courage. And last but definitely not least, the new double album from DJ Shadow with Our Pathetic Age. So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Probably nowhere for the next couple days, but when I do come back, as always, Aura of Azure, where I try to avoid stupidity because, you know, I like to use my brain. I wish more people did.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at MacTavidMedia and on my site, MyUnhappyPoint@HappyPointNetworkPress.com. Recently, I did a review of Come Night at Iron Fortress. You know, that show that was previously on Amazon Prime. Now you can watch it on Crunchyroll. Sub and dub. Because.
Yeah.
And I watch it. Also, working on an anime discovery page where I'm trying to post links to every review that I wrote for the past 8 years. Damn. I'm working on that. It should be ready, I don't know, maybe give it a few days, but I got time to edit the shit out. But yeah.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@sareerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe and hit the bell tab when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SareerReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit SareerResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can talk with us and post the spiciest memes. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week. We will, of course, see you next week for, you know, hopefully more substantial business. And until then, I am so incredibly tired.
Now give me my blasted coffee, goddammit! Good night.
Cookie. Oh.